Welcome to Salvation by Grace, a broadcast ministry of Grace Christian Assembly, a Sovereign Grace Fellowship in Smyrna, Tennessee. For more information, we invite you to visit our website at www.salvationbygrace.org. Now let's join our teacher, Jim McLarty.
Well, I'm glad to see you all this morning. You're going to be glad you're here because there is a preacher in the house. And you're going to get to hear one of my favorite preachers, but he's also one of GCA's favorite preachers. He goes so far back with GCA, he predates most of the people in the room. I was thinking about it last night. You realize it was 2001. 2001, we moved into this building, and I immediately had to go have a surgery that tried to kill me, and I ended up being out for 4 weeks. And for 4 weeks, Barney drove every week up from Alabama to stand here and preach for me so that this young, fledgling, new little church could get on its feet. And that means that we were friends enough and that I trusted him enough and he liked me enough that by 2001 he was willing to come do that for us. So while we call him a guest here, he's not a guest. He's a friend and a beloved brother and as much a part of the structure and history of GCA as anybody in the room. So you're kind of stuck with us, like it or not.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. Now, for the folks on the internet, just a quick announcement. This week on Monday, during all the lightning storms, while I was running around the house unplugging things, I didn't get to my computer. And so my computer blowed up. Poof! So the motherboard fried, and it took the monitor out with it. And that means the only reason I'm bringing it up to all the folks on the internet is if you've written me an email in the last, you know, month or two and you're waiting for a reply, I don't have that email anymore. It went away. And so while you're sitting there thinking, gosh, Jim hasn't written back to me. I wonder what happened. You need to send me that email again because I don't have it. If you're a regular correspondent, write me a note that just says hi so that I have your email address again. Carol sent me all the email addresses of everybody here in the church again. So at the same time, on Tuesday, I went out and bought a new computer. And whether you knew it or not, collectively, you bought me a new computer. Just so you know, you bought me a new computer. Jeff and Jennifer said yes, mostly Jennifer because she controls the checkbook. And she said, yes, go buy a computer. And oh, did I. So I bought a Mac Pro so that I can race with Tim. I'm very excited about my new computer. So thank you very much for that. So send me an email. If you think I'm delaying in writing to you, it's because I don't have the message you sent. So send it to me again. Well, most of you know, as long as I'm talking about Barney Johnson here, we're back to the topic of Barney Johnson. Most of you know that when he was here, oh, several years ago, he preached a message on God is sovereign. And that inspired me to preach several messages that became the series on the sovereignty of God. And so on the website and on the discs on the sovereignty of God, you get to hear Barney's message, and then I ran with it. And then recently, you know, that I've told you about the situation in East Tennessee with his granddaughter. And his message was so moving and so absolutely perfect that I came back here and recited it to you all. And it went out on the internet and then was picked up by Reformed Voices and Lane Chaplin and some of those other big blogs. It's on YouTube. For all the people out there listening to GCA who wrote to me or who wrote notes on YouTube saying higher and grander was the thing we needed to remember in the time of trouble, Barney Johnson's the man who received that message from God and brought it to all of us. All I did was recite what he said. And that's one of the reasons that he's one of my favorite preachers, is that he has an insight into the scripture and he worships the same God I worship and preaches the same Christ, talks about the same sovereignty, the same God. And the more we talk, the more we find out that we even agree on things we didn't know we agreed on. The longer we get to know each other, the closer we grow, and I just love him like anything. Nothing I wouldn't do for Barney Johnson.
Your hearts are knit.
Yeah, well, you know, for years, I felt like I was the only one. I'm like that nutbag guy who's out there on the end of the branch, who's the only guy who believes this stuff. And that's a very lonely place to be. And then I met Barney, and it was like, I'm not alone. There are other people out there on that same limb. So he was a great, great encouragement to me. The more that we talked and the more that we grew closer, and God has really knit our hearts together. So you don't need to hear anything more from me. Barney Johnson, come and preach whatever God has laid on your heart, and just make sure that you strap this thing on so that everybody can hear you. All right.
I'll go sit in the choir loft.
Is that for your internet audience too?
Yes.
The choir? The choir?
Exactly. So they'll think they're the choir.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, man. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks to Pastor Jim for having me once again when we first decided on this day. I don't know how I'm ending up preaching today, because when we were talking, I was telling him after my granddaughter passed, and a month later, you know, Elder Ward passed. He's my father in ministry. And then we got back from that funeral, and I was waiting. I was talking to a friend of mine in Knoxville. She had just called to see if we made it back home safely. And while I was talking to her on the phone, she got a call, and she said, hold on a minute. And I held on a minute, and then she came back to let me know her father had passed. So it was three there in a row. And I was telling Jim that, you know, I just need to come hear some preaching myself. So my plan was just to come. And next thing I, you know, and I don't know how that conversation got turned around. I really don't.
I know
he kept saying, let's get a date. And I said, well, I just need to come sit and hear some preaching myself. And since the month started on Sunday, the day is June 1st, that's what we agreed on, but I don't know how we got to that, from me just coming to me coming and preaching. But here I am nonetheless. And I do thank you all, our family, thank you all for your prayers and your wishes of comfort to us. It was a different time, a tough time. I ask you can do continue to pray for my son and his other daughter and the big brother. And then, you know, ask God to continue to strengthen him. As I said, out of all this, if nothing else, Derek came to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we don't know why God does the way he does things, but he's God. And I'm just glad he does things the way he does things.
Yes, sir.
You know? Amen. Amen. I won't keep you to his word. John, the 8th chapter. And the other familiar passage would be Genesis, verses 3 and 4. There are three passages of scripture for me that, you know, if I had a university and I was teaching the doctrines of grace, soteriology by reform, salvation, there are three passages for me that would do it. I would either preach Psalms 110 and 3, thy people will be made willing in the day of thy power and the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast to do of thy youth. I'd either do that one or the story of the Philippian jailer. We talked about that last night, because those two passages for me, if they're preached right, if they're done right, if you do honest interpretation of scripture and honest exegetical preaching of those texts, there's no way you can come away from those. I'm not saying it's not true of the whole Bible, but for me, for those passages for sure, there's no way you can come away and not believe that salvation, it really is by grace alone, by a sovereign God. That's the other passage, the one before us this morning in John 8, the 32nd chapter. I say you know it well. John 8, the 32nd verse, I'm sorry. Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And then that other passage, for reference sake, we'll deal with it in the Genesis passage, you know well. And the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil." And I want to preach about liberating truth. Mm-hmm. Liberating truth. The problem with that first passage is that so oftentimes it's quoted without a clear understanding of what's truly been said. Any given day, it's quoted somewhere in all walks of life. You should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. But not really knowing what is at the bottom of that passage of Scripture. We don't like the truth. It upsets us. We'd rather have things the way we want them, and even if those things are based on a lie, we want them the way we want them. We don't like the truth, but yet at the same time, when we hear the truth, it is somewhat relieving. Now, we all been kids, and you're a kid now. If you hear you young like this, you know that you've done something wrong, right? You know you've been there, you've done something wrong, and mom and dad come and ask you, say, "Now, what did you do?" And that mind goes to work, and you come up with a fantastic story of how what happened. And your mom and dad are looking at you like, "Is that really what happened?" And eventually, you break down and say, "Mom, that's not the truth. Dad, that's not the truth. What really happened was," and even in telling the truth, knowing you might be punished, there is a sense of relief. And then the parents say, "Now, that's the truth." Even the missing child, there is a sense of relief in a sense of closure, maybe a better word in that sense, knowing if the child is missing, that at least where the child is, even if you find the child dead. There's a sense of relief in just knowing. But at the same time, it does hurt sometimes. We don't like to hear the truth about ourselves from our wives and our husbands, you know. We don't like that. We don't like to hear the truth from friends, but friends will tell you the truth. It hurts sometimes, but it also gives one a sense of relief. Now, the other thing about the truth is the truth is exclusive. 2 + 2 will always be 4. Mm-hmm. Never 5, never 4.5, never 3, never 3.5. It will always be 4. And there are some in the world who would have us believe that because Einstein came up with this fantastic theory of relativity, that all truth is relative. Okay? That he, you know, we're in Smyrna, Tennessee. It is what time? It is 11:35. And if I go to New York, it's 12:35. So the time is relative to where I am. But even in a relative sense, there has to be a constant. There has to be something that is true for anything else to be relatively true. And as far as Einstein's theory, even Einstein's theory of relativity, it has a constant, the speed of light. Or else there would be no relativity possible. Even our day is, you may live in a different time zone, but it's based on the rotation of the Earth. And if that ever changes, then we can say, well, that really is relative. So truth is always exclusive. Exclusive. Something cannot be true and not true at the same time. Okay? Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Three things from this verse. Three things from this verse. And I say it gets to the heart of the gospel. It's to the heart of the gospel that we preach. First of all, you are in bondage. And that bondage is because of a lie. Right? I mean, if Jesus says, you should know the truth and should make you free, then it says that the life you're living is based on a lie. And then the third thing is that it will take the truth to get you out of the life you're living, that lie of a life you're living, if you're going to please God. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's my 3 points, but that's, believe me, that's not my 3 points. There's more to that. As I said, this could be a good semester course. A good semester course, if it's done right. But I won't keep you 3 months. Okay? I'll try to get it done before the CD runs out. How's that? Right. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in his work that he did on Calvary, you are in bondage. You are in bondage. Now, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your status is in life. It doesn't matter what your lineage is. All that doesn't matter. You are in bondage. And the sad thing about it is, because we've been this way so long, we're born in iniquity, we're shaping in sin, because we've been in it so long since the fall, most of the time, we don't even realize we're in bondage. Look at the text. Look at the text. They answered Jesus saying, we are Abraham's seed. We have never been in bondage to any man. And I'm thinking, okay. So now every year in the spring you celebrate Passover. Okay, now what is that about? Yes, exactly. What is that about? The 70 years in Babylon. What was that about? You know, and even now under Roman oppression. So how is it you say you've never been in bondage? It's because, beloved, they've always been in bondage. If you take a man who's committed the most hideous crime possible, he goes to jail. Let's say this is a good example. He's in communist China. He's put in jail in communist China for his hideous crime. For some reason, he has a change of heart. He gets out of jail. He gets out of prison, and he's given some access on the prison ground. He improves his behavior even further, and pretty soon, because of that, he's let go. And he's free to walk the streets of China, but where is he? He's still in communist China. And what we don't understand is that because of the fall, Adam, in a sense, he sold his will to Satan. And because of that, we are all in bondage. And yes, the life we're living, if it's without Christ, is a life of bondage. And we know no more about it than Neo did before. I can't think of the other guy's name that showed him the truth, you know, that or even better than that, Jim Carrey in the Truman Show. You know, or even Jim Carrey in the Truman Show. That's a good example, too. You know, his whole life was based on a lie. And until somebody from the outside of this lie we're living in comes in to let us know the truth of our situation, we will always continue to be in bondage and deny that we are in bondage. I've told you once before, if I told you again, two things you don't call people, you don't call them crazy, you don't call them a sinner. Or you're a Christian, well, I go to church every now and then, you know, or you say, well, I wouldn't say that. And then if you follow that with it, well, you're a sinner. Well, no, I wouldn't go as far as say I'm a sinner. You know, I do my part. I give my blood, you know, I take good care of my family. But that, beloved, that has nothing to do with it. We live our lives. Yes, there's freedom, and we must not confuse our freedom of will to live in this world with our freedom of will to do anything pleasing to God. We will never do it. Amen. We will never do it. And even in this life, we're only as free as our boundaries go. Mm-hmm. We're proud to be American citizens. You know, we think we are it because we live in America. But I tell you what, act crazy if you want to and go on to Mexico and try to do your nice little drug run and see what they think of your American citizenship. You're free to live as an American citizen in America. When you cross the borders, when you leave our boundaries, that freedom ceases, and you must abide by the laws of the country to which you're going. When Adam sinned, we all were placed in the sphere of sin and wickedness. And there's no way out of that unless Christ does something for me. We are in bondage. Okay? Now, that bondage is because of a lie. That's that verse over in Genesis. It lies about God. It lies about who you are. And it lies about what you're going to get. And that's where Satan has us. He has us believing the lie. He has us believing that God has held out on us and that God has not told us the truth. What does he tell Eve? Oh, Eve, go ahead. You won't die. God has lied to you. You will not die. He just don't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to be like him. He's lied to you. And beloved, we bought into the lie. We bought into the lie. Every time a man stands behind a pulpit and says, God is waiting on you to make your choice to come to him, that's part of the lie. Because it makes us something that we're not, and it makes God something that he's not.
Right.
Yes, God is a sovereign God. This is his world. He does with it as he please. We don't like it. We don't like it. Okay? God doesn't care. Okay? He really does not care whether you like it or not. I'm glad he's pleased to love us. I'm glad he's not a tyrant. I'm glad he's a God of grace. For he could be like that, but he's not, beloved. He loves us with a sovereign grace. And no, but that's not the God we have today. We got a God today who can't do anything unless we say so. He's waiting on us before he moves. Well, this is what gets me. But then they'll turn right around and say, what I just said, that God is able to do what he wants to, when he wants to, where he wants to. But he's waiting on you. Now, again, okay, if 2 + 2 = 4, you know, how can God do this, but yet he's waiting on you over here? Is that simple enough? To me, that's fairly simple. They lied about God. The lie is about who we are. No, you cannot pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. We are happy in the lie. We are happy living the lie. We have no desire to please God in ourselves. That there is no, unless God does something for us, we'll go along living our lives. The scripture says that in Job, he talks about the man who has everything he wants. His family's doing good. The crops are doing good. Money in the bank and everything. And so the questions come, well, what do I need God for? And that's where we are in our society today. Secularism is a complete denial of God. Secularism at its base says that all we have is what we have now. And after we die, we just die. There's no heaven or hell for us to go to because there's no God who created anything. That's secularism. That's the lie we bought into. Yes, we bought into the lie that all truth is relative. And here's the problem with that. If all truth is relative, then isn't what you just said, that all truth is relative, isn't that relative too? Doesn't that become a relative statement? So how can we believe that? Beloved, we are not who we think we are, and nobody is reading the Word of God to find out what God says, who God says we are. God says, yes, we are sinners. There's some good sinners, and there's some bad sinners, but we're all sinners. Okay? Yes, they may be preaching. Yes, they may be, they may be the greatest mom, dad, brother, sister in the world. They may go to church every Sunday, tithe, give offering every Sunday, sing in the choir, usher, whatever it takes. They may give their whole life works to the church and think because of all my labor, because of all I do, that somehow that's going to get me into heaven.
R.C. Sproul said, it's not even that far. I may have told you this before, too. He said the premise in America is not justification by grace, and it's not even justification by works. It's justification by death. Yes. I don't care how wicked the celebrity was living, but you let a celebrity die, and they've gone to that great movie theater or something in the sky, you know? Nobody is dying and going to hell for their sin. And beloved, that's where we are. We believe that, well, there's some kind of way when this thing is all over, if there is a God at all, first of all, if there is one, there's some kind of way God's going to look at everybody and say, okay, you all just mean so much to me. I just really love you all so much. I know you didn't accept my son, but I just cannot send you to hell. Come on to heaven with me. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of the Bible. You must remember, first of all, he's holy. He's holy. Anybody ask you questions about how can God allow this, how can God allow that, say he's holy. And then if they want to ask you what that means, that's a good point. That's a good jumping off point. Okay. But first of all, he's holy. And his love is holy. And his justice is holy. And his mercy is holy. All his attributes are holy attributes, but we cannot exalt his love over his justice. We can't do that. We can't do that. If I can say this way, they are equally as important. So we believe the lie about God. We believe the lie about ourselves. Let me just throw this at you. I think it was... Dr. Shaw, he's past president, still president, he's about to leave office, of the National Baptist Convention USA Incorporated. He preached at Mount Zion in Oak Ridge, and he was talking about how, when Adam first sinned, how insufficient he was to deal with what he's done. Mm-hmm. The best he could come up with for a suit of clothes was fig leaves. Now, and this is the guy who said in the Torah, you eat the fruit, you won't die. You're going to be like God. And the best thing they can come up with for clothes are things that's going to wither and die if you pluck them off the vine. So, you know, fig leaves. It takes God to clothe us properly. Beloved, we believe the lie about God. We believe the lie about ourselves. And yes, and I've already covered it, we don't believe that we have to be saved the way God says we must be saved. We believe that we can do it on our own. And that yes, what I do here, my works here, it will matter somehow to God, and that God will save me in the long run. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Then Jesus says, if we're going to be free, if we're going to be free, it's going to take the truth to do it. Right. Not another lie, not some good story. It's going to take the truth. It's going to take the truth to set us free.
Well, what is the truth? The truth is that God, in eternity past, chose for himself a people. In eternity past, he did that. And by his sovereign will, by his sovereign reason known only to him, when I get to heaven, it's one thing I'm going to ask him, why me? I don't understand that. I never would understand that. Out of all the people you could have chosen, why did you choose me? That's what makes grace amazing. That's why we sing that song, because grace is amazing. Out of all the people, out of all the sinners in the world, out of all the people we may even think worthy to be saved, God saved you. We've got to believe that God in eternity past held an election according to his own purpose, to his own will, and determined he's going to save himself a people, and that he sent his son into the world to die for that people, to secure their salvation. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to that people to say, believe the work that my son has done for you at Calvary. And when we did that, we believed God, we believed the work that he had done. And because all that has happened to us, we are eternally saved regardless of our status in life, regardless of our lineage, regardless of what goes on in our lives. We are saved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And we are free. And we are free. Now, here's the problem that we have with being free. We don't live free. You know? We still have a slave mentality. We still hold on to the things that the world says we must do, how we must act to be saved. Yes, we're still in this body of flesh. And I'll admit that sometimes, you know, people get on your nerves and, you know, you say something that doesn't come out right, you know. Say amen, because I know I'm not in this room by myself. And let me put it this way. You may not have said it, but you sure did think it. How's that? How's that? But let's just say you said it, and you know it didn't come out right. Perhaps you used a profane word or even like that. And you know what immediately comes from the sinner who has no, who doesn't believe in God? Okay? And you call yourself a Christian. Mm-hmm. And you call yourself a Christian. I said, well, I am a Christian. But I'm still in this flesh. I still make mistakes. And even in my mistakes, I'm still going to glory. Because I'm not going to glory based on what I say to you or how I live this life. I hope I live my life pleasing to God. I hope I live my life pleasing to his glory. But that's not why I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ paid the price for me. Yes. And God is satisfied with what he offered. He's justified me through his son. That's why I'm going to glory. And if you want to get real sassy with him and say, and on my worst day, I'm better than you are unsaved on your best day. That's if you just really want to get as ugly as that. That's ugly. Don't do that. Don't do that. Forget I ever said that. Beloved, we have to live in the freedom which God has given us. Yes. You remember in scripture there was this problem. Pause it. I think it was in Antioch. And Peter had come down. You remember that story? And Peter got down and saw how the Gentiles, oh, they had the best barbecue. You know, they had some good pork ribs and, you know, and sausage. And they were having a good time. And Peter, being a Jew, he tried a little bit to exercise his freedom. So he started to eat what they were eating. And he liked it. But then when the other brothers came down from Jerusalem, you remember that story? Peter went back over there and Paul said, I called him on his name. Now, Peter, come on now. Either we're free or we aren't. It can't change now. Either we are set free or we're not free. So how is it you're going to come down here and live free, but then when your brothers show up, who in a sense still live in Jewish bondage, how are you going to go back over there? And beloved, we cannot let this world put us in bondage again. Right. We are free. Right. We cannot live with the slave mentality. Let me tell you this story about My people, being a black man, you know, there's a history of that mentality amongst our people. I guess it was 1976, 77. I can't remember. The Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl that year. And Lynn Swann, he was the most valuable player. Remember that year? And he made some fantastic catches, and they voted him valuable player. Well, in my early years, I grew up with Lynn Swann and Calvin and his mom and dad over in Alcoa. And they moved to California. And so when Lynn Swann won Most Valuable Player, he came back to Alcoa. And, of course, they had a big Lynn Swann day. They gave him the key to the city. And they had it all at the church I was attending. And when I got there, the church was packed, and I was sitting in the back. Okay? And so in walks this white guy. Okay? And he's escorted to the front of the church and sat down on the front row. And so, you know, we're all there, and after everything's over, the man who's presiding got up and said, you know, we're glad everybody's here, and we thank you all for coming, everything. And then he was introducing the dignitaries and everything, you know, all the important people that showed up. And so he said to this guy who they'd escorted down front, and sir, who are you and what do you do? And he said, well, I'm just a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I just came to see Lynn Swann. And I'm thinking, okay, here I am sitting in the back of the church. I can hardly see anything. And this guy, simply because of his skin color, was escorted to the front of the church, beloved, because of that mentality. Beloved, we cannot live our lives like that. We are free people in Christ. We are free. Yes, I'm going to have some fun in this life. No, I'm not going to walk around all the time with my hands like this as if I'm praying all the time. Father, we thank you. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to Six Flags. Okay? Or King's Island. I'm going to enjoy this life because God has given it to me. Live your lives free in the freedom that God has given you. Now, don't go crazy. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Paul says, he says, we continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. No, I'm not talking about going out and just living any kind of way because you can live any kind of way because it's not based on what you live. If you truly, truly, truly have been saved, if you truly have been set free, you will live your life for Christ.
Yes. Right.
But enjoy it along the way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the scripture says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
True.
You shall be free indeed.
Only the Son
can do it. Only the Son. We cannot live our lives in bondage. He has set us free, and we are free indeed. The scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then Paul goes on to say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God elect? It's God that justifies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, rather is risen again, and who is ever at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. So if God has made us free, who can charge us with anything? God has done it, beloved. It's his work. It's his work alone. And he has made us free. We are indeed free.
Right.
Now, I don't care what you're going through. Sometimes you don't feel like that.
Right.
I know. That's a good thing. That's a good thing when you feel like you've disappointed God. When you feel like you hadn't read your Bible enough, you feel like you hadn't studied enough, when that word does slip, when that thought does come, when those things have come, you think that God really must be disappointed with me. When you feel like you're not loving your family like you should, you're not giving your all in all and your best on your job or at GCA, when those things happen and you feel like I'm not the Christian I should be. But beloved, the scripture said if the Son has made you free, guess what? In spite of all that, you're still free.
Amen.
You're still free. So I don't know about you, I don't know about you. We do have those days. The ministry doesn't feel like it's going where it should go. And, you know, I'm not doing what I should be. But, beloved, most of the time, I try to live my life as the free Christian I am. Right. To the glory of God. Right. Amen?
Amen?
He's done it. If you are a sinner here, you are in bondage. You're in bondage because of a lie. And Jesus says the only thing that can take you from where you are to where you need to be is the truth. I refer to the Truman Show. You remember Jim Carrey? I can't remember the character he played, but he lived his whole life on a sound stage. Every day, what was he saying? He said, good morning. And in case I don't see you, good evening and good night. It was something like that. That was it exactly. Okay, thank you. He lived his whole life on that sound. His whole life was a lie. All these people came in. They were doing things to keep his life comfortable in the lie. But what they didn't plan on was that he would fall in love with somebody from the outside who would tell him the truth about who he was and his condition. And when he found out the truth, his heart's desire was to leave that place, and was it Fiji? To Fiji to get to where that girl was. Beloved, it takes somebody from the outside. If I could, yes, I would save everybody in my family. You would too. You know? But the thing is, we're all in this thing together. If they're going to be saved, if anybody's going to be saved, if anybody's going to believe the truth, be taken from the sphere of a lie, then somebody from the outside has to come into our world to let us know, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. This is a train destined for hell. But there is a way you can get off. There is a way you can get off, and that is belief in Jesus Christ. And with that, that's what we mean by irresistible grace. When grace is seen as it truly is, as the only viable option for hope to live, then the sinner, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, will believe that grace. That's what we mean by irresistible grace. No, we don't mean God comes and beats us over the head and say, you're going to believe in my son. No, he says, hey, you're going to hell without my son, but I can give you heaven. And I've done all the work. An example I give for that is, I think I used it in the other passage, over in the Roman passage. Again, you commit a hideous crime. You murder a family. Okay? You murder a family. You go to trial, and it's discovered that the family you murdered was the judge's family. Mm-hmm. What's your hope of not suffering capital punishment, whatever it is? there's very slim. But the judge says, you're guilty. You're guilty of killing my family. But then he says, but however, I'm going to let you go. And you say, how can this be? He says, because, well, first of all, let's say I had another son. You killed him, but before he died, he said, Dad, whoever the murderer is of the family and everything, if you would take my death in his place, don't kill him, forgive him for what he's done, let him go and count my death as his death. And that settles it. Beloved, that's what God has done for us. That's what God has done for us. We are sinners. We are guilty before him. But God and his grace and his love is God's idea to send Jesus. It's an act of grace. He sends Jesus to die for us. He dies for us. He's risen from the grave. And now we are able to go free based on the work Christ did for us at Calvary. Now, who's going to turn down an offer like that? You can believe the work that's done, or you can go on to hell. You know? Let me think about that a minute. Let's see. It's like a dime or $50 billion. It's a given, right? But beloved, Jesus said he will send the Holy Spirit and he will lead and guide you into all truth. Beloved, he has to come and give us the truth about who God is, about who we are, and about what it takes to be saved. And once the Holy Spirit has done that work in us, yes, we will. And I'll say it as a sovereign grace preacher. Yes, we will, of our own will, come to Christ. Mm-hmm. We have no problem with that. We have a problem with how this thing starts. That's where the problem lies with what we believe. We have a problem with what the world says. How's this thing start? It starts with God, not with us. It starts with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You are free. Live in your freedom. Live in your freedom. Christ has set you free. God bless you.
To quote Barney Johnson, I don't know about you, but I'm really glad I heard that.
Amen.
I'm really glad I heard that, Barney. Live free. Oh, that's a great message. Set free in Christ. Thanks for being here. Thanks for saying that.
No, thank you. Thank you.
I know you said that you weren't sure how the conversation went that led to you preaching this morning,
mm-hmm.
but God knew, and he knew we needed that message.
Amen.
So... say goodbye to the internet, people.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
On behalf of everyone at Grace Christian Assembly, we thank you for listening to this week's Salvation by Grace message. Remember to visit us on the internet at www.salvationbygrace.org. And we invite you to join us next time when we gather around the Word and study the sovereign grace of God.